Open vessels. I've called this week's sermon Open Vessels. God's presence changes every situation and experience. In the Old Testament, the presence or dwelling of God in Hebrew is the word Shekinah. The term Shekinah is used many times interchangeably with the Word of God. In the Jewish mind, it always spoke of the fact that God dwelt with the people, or rested, His presence rested upon those who merited His favor, whether that was an individual or whether that was a group or a community of people. The Shekinah glory was the visible manifestation of the presence of God. It is the majestic presence and manifestation of God in which God descends and dwells amongst men or mankind. The heart of the idea of the tabernacle and then Solomon's temple was the abiding presence of God. Although God is omnipresent, He's chose to manifest His presence in certain locations at certain times within history. And in the tabernacle, it was the pillar by day and the fire by night as He accompanied Moses and the Jews as they exodused from Egypt. In Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 and 35, speaks about the glory of the Lord. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord had filled it. So the glory of God, Moses could not enter. And the dedication of the temple of Solomon in Chronicles in chapter 7. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and it consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of God had filled it. And when the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt down on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshipped and giving thanks to the Lord, saying, "He is good and His love endures forever." This is history recorded for us in the Old Testament. And Ezekiel prophesied about and spoke about the glory of the Lord departing from the temple. And in Ezekiel chapters 9, 10 and 11, he speaks about this departure on account of Israel's sin, that the glory of God departed. And in chapter 10, verse 18, the glory of the Lord departed from over the threshold of the temple. And throughout the next chapters, 11 and 12, talks about wheels within a wheels, where the glory of God left the presence. But we're living in the year of the Lord's favor. Hallelujah. We're living in a time, an experience, where prophets of old and people longed to live in the year of the favor of the Lord. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and He took residence among us. We saw His glory, the glory of the one and only, full of grace and truth, who came from the Father. The glory of God that once dwelt in the tabernacle and later in the temple came to earth in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was God dwelling, tabernacling amongst men. Oops. Getting ahead of myself. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, and being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The God of glory himself now lives within us. The God of glory now lives within us. And when his glory descends, it's not only around us, but it's the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, permeating every atom of our being. And Paul fully understood this in Romans chapter 8, how he spoke about this change, and he fully grasped that the Spirit dwelt amongst men. Jesus Christ had said, it's better if I go and I will send you the Holy Spirit. And now, through the cross, through his death, and through his resurrection, we have access to God 24/7. Through the person of God, the Holy Spirit. God no longer dwells in tents made by the hands of men, but he dwells in vessels made by the hands of God. And that's you and me, my friend. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And that is life-changing, my friends. Life-changing. We just think and let that truth sink in, that we would comprehend that God, the God of glory, now lives within us. And perhaps all of us take that for granted. Myself included. We put him in our pockets with our car keys. And we get on with life. The busyness, the day-to-day drudgery, the pressures, the hardships, the worries, the cares of this world. And our schedules and calendars. And we're busy, busy, busy with the demands of life and vocation that are put on us and what we put upon ourselves. Bill Hybels talks about a concept of a bucket and asks the question, how full is your bucket? Throughout Scripture, it speaks about us being vessels of God, holy, set apart. In the Psalms, it speaks about my cup runs over. It's overflowing, about the abundance life that we can have in God through Jesus Christ. How full is our bucket? Is it low? Are we operating on empty? Have we gone past the reserve mark? Is there no gas in the tank? No benzene? No plin left? Are we just getting by? Are we low? The demands and pressures of life pushing down on us. Financial pressure. Different types of pressures, expectations, worries, fears, regrets, pushing down. Are we half full? Or are we half empty? That's another sermon. Are we at the place where the Lord wants us to operate, which is full and overflowing? Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Message version puts it like this. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Rest. We entered rest when we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. We entered into his rest, into that tabernacle, into his victory. So by sonship, we have that rest available to us. And I'm not talking about a Sabbath rest, which is important, whatever day we choose to rest. God chose to rest from his works, and so should we. He didn't need to, but he left us an example. And whatever day we choose to observe the Sabbath, I think it's good that we get in a habit of taking rest. Because if God took it, we need it. But this is a different type of rest. This is entering into Christ. When we were forgiven, we entered into that rest. Our guilt was removed because our sin was forgiven. When we experienced his presence, his forgiveness, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you remember that day when you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Savior? Restore to me the joy of your salvation, speaks about in Scripture. Are we tired? Are we weary? Are we burdened? Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Isn't that beautiful? Are we striving? Are we striving? You're accepted in the Lord. We entered into that rest when we became a child of God. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup, and you are my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a beautiful inheritance. You made known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. If we do not fill these vessels with God's presence and God's Spirit, something else will take its place. Talks about putting on God and taking off a garment that is heavy. When they put the armor on David, Saul's armor, it didn't fit. He couldn't fight. It was ill-fitting. It was pulling him down. Other people putting their expectations upon you that are unrealistic, that are not you, that Christ hasn't called you to be. Take them off like David did. Picked up his bag and his slingshot and took 5 stones and defeated Goliath. God's called you to be you. And he hasn't made a mistake. You have an individual gift and calling. And you're beautiful in his sight. And you're loved with an everlasting love. You are a son or a daughter of the Most High. And he's chosen you before he laid the earth foundation. Your name was in the Lamb's Book of Life. Speaks about God being a jealous God. Is there anything in our lives that's taking God's place? Is there any idols? Any striving? We're sons and daughters of the Most High, of the God of the universe. You're accepted completely because of His blood. You don't have to earn anything. He loves you completely. He couldn't love you anymore. Relinquishing. This is the process of rest that I've put out. I hope you like it. Relinquish. What does that mean? It means to give up. Friends, we come to God with nothing. Nothing. It's by grace we were saved. By grace. We come. When we come into God's presence, friend, when we come to rest and take time out to enter into His presence, this is essential for Christian living. And if your calendar isn't allowing you time to enter into rest and time and experience with God, change your calendar. Because this is a priority, friends. Everything stems out of our relationship with our Father. And when you choose to intentionally enter God's presence, let me tell you, there's going to be a battle. You're going to remember 101 things that you need to do. Take a piece of paper and write them down. Do them later. Pray for peace. Turn your phone off. Unplug the internet. Unplug your telephone. Because you're going to be disturbed. Because this is one thing the enemy does not want you to do. He does not want you to spend time in God's presence. And he will throw everything at you to scupper these plants. But when we come into His presence and we find rest for our souls, we have nothing to bring to the table. We are sinners saved by grace. We are spiritually bankrupt. But we are also dearly loved children of God. And don't let our weaknesses, our sin and shortcomings stop us entering the presence and rest and fellowship of God through the Holy Spirit. In our natural flesh, when we've fallen or made a mistake or we struggle with a certain sin, we punish ourselves. Say, oh, I'll speak to God tomorrow about it. Run to Jesus, friend. Keep short accounts. His arms are open wide. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Give all your worries and cares to God because He cares for you. He loves us so much more than we can imagine. That we can comprehend the depth, the height, the breadth of love of God found through Christ Jesus. God's presence departed from the temple because of Israel's sin. Our personal sin can separate us from the presence of God. But there's no reason for it to. Because the blood of Jesus has paid for sin. for yesterday's sin, for today's sin, and for tomorrow's sin. For my sin, for your sin, and for the world's sin. King David experienced a dryness, a barrenness, a spiritual thirst because of unconfessed sin. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Whew. We all know about that. When you walk out, like a blanket, that heat hits you. That dryness, that barrenness, that heat that evaporates the water from within us. Then David said, "Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the guilt of my sin." Let us choose to relinquish our lives to Him who paid the price in His blood. Let us confess our sin without any fear of condemnation, because there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And when God convicts us, He does it so that we would confess and be cleansed and refilled and replenished. Not low, not half full, but to overflowing. And after we relinquish, after we confess, after we give it up to the Lord, we receive. Because when we come to Jesus for forgiveness, instead of living with guilt like a black cloud hanging over us, we've all been there with our struggles, with our sin, with our failings, and we get depressed and fed up with ourselves. But there's no reason that we should walk around in that black cloud, in that condemnation that the enemy wants to push down on us, to separate us, to have us hanging at the back of the pack so the enemy can pounce on us. He'll tell us, "You're not worthy. You've done that again. Oh, call yourself a Christian? My Lord, if people only knew." Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. We're all sinners, and we've fallen short of the glory of God. But He is faithful and just, if we confess our sin, to forgive us. And as far as the east is from the west, He removes our sin from us. Hallelujah. As far as the east is from the west. Sorry, I'm just a little emotional. God is good. God is good, even when I'm not. He cannot disown Himself. It's not about performance. It's about what He's done on the cross. We've no reason to look for alternative ways to fill this vessel, to fill this bucket. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For whoever believes in me, as the scriptures had said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Streams of living water, cleansing, renewing, refreshing. That is the Holy Spirit living in us. And after we receive, we're in the right place to release. And this cycle goes on. We cannot give out that which we've not received. Because when you're empty, you're giving out yourself. And that won't last for long. And you'll burn out. Everybody around you will sense the stress, the pressure. But there's no reason to live life like that. But we have to be intentional. We have to get away. Jesus many times withdrew to a solitary place to fill his bucket up. Many, many times in Scripture, he withdrew. And we need to follow that example. And when we're under pressure, when life's pushing down, when we want to scream, when we want to cry, we need to get away with our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we cannot give out that which we haven't received. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. When you've been with Jesus, and when you've been in his presence, and when your cup and vessel or bucket is overflowing, everybody knows. And when it's empty, or when it's half full, everybody knows. But there's no reason that we should live in barrenness. There's no reason to strive. And we can only give out what we receive. Little breather. I put this slide up, hopefully to break it for fun. If you see them plasters on the bucket, the lumens bulb of the projector is not very good. And this bucket leaking. So it's good to identify the things that drain us. And that is often in ministry or life, doing things beyond your gifting. Beyond, sometimes at work or in church or in a vocation, you have to stand in for somebody. You have to do somebody else's job. And you hate it. Because it's not your gift. It's not your calling. It's hard. And it drains you. You want to avoid doing the things that spiritually drain you. That just pull all the energy and life out of you. There was a guy that I used to disciple in Wales. And after about 18 months, because I was just tenacious, I thought, oh Lord, I've heard you. I just had to say no more. Because he drained the life out of me. He sapped the energy from me. And I gave him to the Lord, and I prayed for him, and I continued to pray for him. But I stopped meeting with him because it wasn't beneficial. Now, I'm not telling you to do that, but I think we all know and can easily recognize very quickly that the things that drains us. And when we can, sometimes in some periods of our life, we have to do them things. I think Barry, at work, you've been doing the job of three guys over these last few years, and some of them things are not your calling. And they sap the life out of you. Who is responsible for filling our bucket? Can't hear you. Ourself. It's not the pastor. It's not your friend. It's not your wife. It's not your husband. It's not your children. It's us. We are responsible to spend time with God, to replenish, to rest, to relinquish, to replenish, so we could be released and to give out. Be continually filled with God, the Holy Spirit. Speaks about not drinking excessive wine in Ephesians, but talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that actually means that we must be continually filled with the Spirit. In Scripture, it talks about men, even though you're good, if your child asks for an egg, you're not going to give him a scorpion, you're not going to give him a snake. How much more would the God give you? What? The Holy Spirit. Yeah. You've got to ask for it, friends. It's a relationship. It's not a shopping list. It's a two-way conversation. But God longs to speak with us. And what is our response? God longs for our fellowship. And if we ignore him long enough, life just gets harder and harder and harder, because he's a jealous God. And he wants to hear how you're doing. And if you don't talk to him about it, trust me, he'll get to the state where you'll be on your knees. Will we choose to invest in our personal relationship with Christ Jesus? Dear friends, please don't misunderstand me. I know you, the majority of people here, know the Lord Jesus intimately. Intimately. But the pressures of life and the demands that people and vocations and jobs and ministry make of us sometimes corrupt that habit. And then we get so caught up with life, we forget about it. But God's presence can change every situation and experience. God's presence can change every situation and experience. Amen.
Ask, when we ask him, God responds. He sends a spirit to refresh, to renew us. We can find rest. He blesses us, and in return, we bless him. So we're going